Welcome to the Game Day Cube Sports Experience, episode 54. I am your host, Isaac E. Today is a short and condensed podcast, specifically talking about some of the signings, trades, moves, and deals that happened in the NHL's Atlantic Division this offseason, and where the teams currently stand going forward, as there still might be some moves yet to be made, but the majority of moves have happened. I think the teams at this point are about done, except for maybe a move here or there. But it's worth now talking about where each team stands now that the offseason is basically almost complete, with the free agent. Most of the free agents have been signed. The draft is long over now, and now we can delve in. Now, before we go into it, I want to give full credit to some of the articles that I've written that allow me to research a little deeper into these clubs in the Atlantic Division. So I want to give full credit to John Vogel of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Buffalo Vogel. That's Buffalo V-O-G-L. Also, I want to give credit to ESPN's Emily Kaplan. You can follow her on ESPN at Emily M. Kaplan. That's Kaplan with a K, K-A-P-L-A-N. And Greg Wyshynski, also of ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at W-Y-S-H-Y-N-S-K-I. That's Greg Wyshynski. And he is from ESPN as well. All right, let's get into it and what happened and where teams currently sit in the merry-go-round. We'll start in alphabetical order. The Bruins were able to add Per Lindholm and Brett Ritchie in free agency. That basically is kind of more of a swap out, as they also were able to bring in Connor Clifton. Neither one of those three players were a major expense. Basically, the money that Wiley would have went to Marcus Johansson and Noah Akkari went to those three players. Johansson ended up signing with the Sabres and should be end up being their second line center. But we'll get to the Sabres in a minute. The Bruins, other than that, didn't do anything that I would say of note. On the free agent table, so to speak, or free agent signings, other than that, there wasn't anything major that I believe that they brought in that would help bolster their team. It's pretty much going to be stand pat, same team. You know, Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, they're all going to be back. Krejci, DeBrusk, you know the names. And then on the defensive front, Chara is coming back for another season. Big question is, age probably going to catch up to him. We also have McAvoy and Brandon Carlo on that defensive line. So Connor Clifton comes in and will also help provide depth to that backline defense for Boston. When you look at Boston, they should once again be a team, as long as they stay healthy, that will be in the playoff mix. If they don't stay healthy, then they'll probably not make the playoffs, because this division is brutal. If you look at some of these rosters that this division bolsters, so in regards to Boston means their season mainly is the big part of it is them staying healthy, and that they really need to do that if they want to get to where they're going to go. The Sabres have been very busy. They haven't been, I would say, made huge splashes, but they've quietly improved their second and third lines, which were major weaknesses for the Sabres. They were very top heavy with Skinner and Eichel and Reinhardt. Those three made up about 50% or more of the Sabres offense. That is just not sustainable in any on any level for Buffalo going forward. So they went out and tried to address that. The signing of Marcus Johansson, 2 years, $4.5 million, to most likely be put into that second line and be the second line center, something that they desperately needed last year. They tried to go with the rookie they got in the O'Reilly trade. It was a complete disaster. They got no offensive production from the second line down, and that's kind of what led to their collapse after they got off to a 10-game, well, they had that 10-game winning streak earlier in the year. They were able to bring in some more defensemen. So they bring in Colin Miller from the Vegas Knights, who had to dump him for a cap move. Then they still, remember, they brought in Brandon Montour last year, late at the trade deadline. So that's two defensemen they can pencil in, along with Dahlin. They got some young defensemen coming up. And then they went out and traded Nylander for another young defenseman out of Chicago. So they're very deep at defense right now. They can go about 9, possibly 10 deep as NHL defensemen. This adds a speculation on whether in regards to whether the Sabres are going to move on from Rasmus Ristolainen. Ristolainen is been the scapegoat, so to speak, on the defense, at least among Buffalo fans, for quite some time now, not being strong enough defensively. Although Ristolainen has been a strong, a good scorer from the defensive line, but his plus minus is just horrific, and they need better play out of him. They bring in Jimmy VC from the Rangers. They also bring in John Sebastian Dia and Curtis Lazar, from the Penguins. Mainly just to add depth, I think, to bring in some players that could actually play right now in NHL and possibly give buy more time for some younger players to mature in Rochester. I think that's the overall plan. Their biggest splash, I guess, was the re-signing of Jeff Skinner, 8 years, $9 million. If you look at the Sabres, the team has improved, not enough to make a splash in this division or even make the playoffs, but they should be somewhere pushing around 80 points this season. I think the best case scenario for the Sabres is they have a better second half than the first half, something that didn't happen last year, where in the second half, maybe some of their younger players are called up from Rochester and the team is steadily improving as the season goes along. And maybe, you know, if they improve fast enough, or if they're able to do decent enough in the first half, they might have an outside shot at the playoffs, but I'd have to say that's kind of unlikely in this division. It's a very difficult division with your Bostons, your Tampas, your Torontos, and now even your Floridas. Although Florida hasn't made the playoffs, they've been an 85-plus point team over the last few years. Just hasn't been a playoff team consistently every year. Speaking of the team from Florida, we'll go with them. Bringing in Joel Quenneville was a smart move to coach the team. Quenneville should be good enough to get them an additional 4 or 5 wins on their record. That should be enough just alone to get them in the playoffs. Sergei Borowski, big contract given to him, is the replacement to Luongo and net. 7 years, $70 million for Bobrovsky. He is by far one of the top goaltenders in all of NHL, all of the NHL. So it is a smart move for now, but, you know, 7 years is a lot. He'll be 36 at the end of his contract. They're going to be hard pressed to trade him or give that contract to anyone else. So, basically stuck with him for now. So they definitely want to make hay here within the next 3 or 4 years while Bobrovsky's still in his prime. They bring in Brett Conley, which I think was a smart move. They bring in Kari from Boston. Anton Stroman also. Another, you know, three solid veterans that can help with their younger players that just gives them some depth. One of the things about Florida and over the past few years has been their inconsistency. So those three players should help with that. On nights where their stars aren't running at full cylinder, they should be able to rely on those three players to help them get over that hump and play to an improved level. Remember, they still, you know, sport Hervidu, Barkov, Dadonov, Hoffman, Trocheck, Vatrano. They have a lot of solid talent on their top two lines. The ability to score. Now they got the defense with the goaltending with Bobrovsky. They got the smart coaching of Quenneville, and then bringing in that veteran leadership. I'd be surprised if Florida didn't make the playoffs, and that's where it gets tough for a team like a Buffalo or a Montreal to sneak into the playoffs, knowing that you had that Florida team right there that is improved exponentially better than what you've done in your offseason. And that means that you would have to think if anybody's going to break through in the Atlantic to make the playoffs and knock out one of the other teams, that would be Florida. Now, Detroit, still in the middle of the rebuild. As Steve Yzerman said, Detroit won't be rebuilt in the summer. But he brings in Patrick Nemeth on defense. In free agency, Valtteri Fipula returns to Detroit as well in free agency. They didn't do much other than that. I think the plan is to make more noise in the next season in regards to free agency. They do have they have a couple solid players, you know, Mantha, Larkin, you got Bertuzzi. After that, they need some help on the other lines, but, it's probably going to be a rough year for Detroit, considering the division. But with Yzerman and Helm, you saw what he was able to do in Tampa. You would expect that Detroit will be a relevant team sooner than later, but it's just not going to happen for them this year. So we've done 4 of the 8, I believe. We did in Detroit, Florida, Buffalo, Boston. That brings us to Montreal. Okay, Montreal. Basically tried to steal Sebastian Aho from the Hurricanes, putting in an offer sheet that was matched, so that didn't happen. They were in sort of Matt Duchene, but Duchene was always going to go to the Nashville Predators, so that didn't happen. They moved Andrew Shaw to Chicago for three draft picks, and they have signed the Jets defenseman Ben Charo to a 3-year deal, and they added a couple other pieces, but nothing of merit, so to speak, for Montreal. Montreal definitely surprised a lot of people with their performance last year, I felt like. So they're going to try to do it again. I think the big surprise was Max Domi, who played very well for them coming over from the Coyotes. They also got strong play from Druin. They need more from him. They're definitely going to need more from Domi if they're going to break through and become a playoff team in the Atlantic. I don't see it because I think Howe and Florida improved. I think they've filled that gap as the fourth team in the Atlantic, in my opinion. So I would think Montreal would drop back a little bit. I think they'll be fifth, sixth, and then fighting it out with Buffalo for fifth or sixth. And then I see Detroit at seven, and then Ottawa in the basement, in the very, very far basement. So that's where Montreal is sitting right now. Moving on from Montreal and going into Ottawa. Now, Ottawa, basically, I think it's finally done with their fire sale of any relevant player that they had left. They have a new coach in DJ Smith. They bring in Connor Brown at forward, but and also added Tyler Ennis, Ron Hainsey, but nothing of note. They will have a ton of cap space next season, and they likely will be picking in the top five in the draft looking at this roster. They have the worst talent in the Atlantic, and it's not even close. Maybe they will be able to surprise some people, but if you... not saying that they're tanking, but if you're the Ottawa Brass, you're not really... you really don't care, so to speak, knowing that you're probably going to bring out a bunch of players in free agency, and you can get the high draft pick in the offseason as their rebuild continues. So that's kind of where Ottawa is. They are definitely the worst team in the Atlantic going into next season, and they should finish last in the Atlantic, barring some unforeseen miracle. Tampa Bay is dealing with cap issues. They added, though, Dan Girardi, Anton Strawman on the defense. They bring in Luke Shen as well. Ryan Callahan is retired, so he is no longer part of the side. They also bring in Curtis McElhinney to back up Vasilevsky. They get JT Miller from Vancouver, so he could be an added depth player as well. But for the most part, they didn't really do anything of significance. They have an issue, however, with Braden Point. They will need to get him in for a new contract. But if you look at their roster, you know, when you still can bolster one of the top pairings in all of NHL and Hedman and Sergachev. I can't talk tonight. And then when you have those lines with Killorn, Sorelli, Stamkos, and then Pallett, Point, and the league MVP and Kucherov, that gives you that added push and advantage that a lot of firepower that a lot of people can't deal with, and we saw that last year. Usually what happens with teams like this, I don't see them... I think they're purposely going to try to avoid winning the President's Cup. As you know, it's not really been a beneficial thing for teams over the past few years to do to win, and it wasn't necessarily beneficial for Tampa. But I still see a 100-win 100-point team, one of the top teams, top one or two, depending on where Toronto and Boston land in the Atlantic, and definitely a playoff team. Last but not least, the Toronto Maple Leafs had to deal with cap issues of their own, far more significant than the Tampa Bay Lightning, but were masterfully able to get it done. They still have to sign Mitch Marner, which will probably cost them about $9-10 million, money that they're already spending on Tavares and Austin Matthews. That's tough because those three players are going to eat up a big chunk of your cap, meaning they're going to need role players and young players to step up and help them get to where they need to be. And that is back in the Stanley Cup final. That's always been the goal. Tyson Barry is an unrestricted free agent next season, so that is something they're going to have to worry about. But they really needed to move on from Nazem Kadri, which they were able to do. They also bring in Jason Spezza for 1 year, $700,000. If Spezza can give them anything, he's not the same player he used to be. Obviously, age has finally caught up to him, but he's basically in this role to fulfill the loss of Patrick Marleau, who they had to move on from due to cap space, so they moved him to the Hurricanes. With those moves, they were able to bring in Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Johansson. When you look at their lineup, they expect to go first line with Johansson, Matthews, and Nylander. Then second line, Hyman, Tavares, and Marner. And the third line will be held down by Kapanen. And then we'll see what they can get out of Spezza. He'll probably split between the third and fourth lines. But again, they're going to be relying on young players, rookies, players coming up from the Marlies to help support the club and hopefully get them to a place where they really want to do is, well, where they need to be is basically get past the Boston Bruins or not play them in the first round of the playoffs and get deep into the playoffs. Frederik Anderson is back in goal. He had a very, very good season last year. You would expect that to happen again this year. So that's where Toronto, I still believe that right now the way Toronto has been put together because of that strong line up at sitting at the top of their top line with when you can roll out Matthews and Nylander, you should be and then you can have Marner on that second line with Tavares. All that firepower should lead to a team that again not only approaches 100 points, but gets over 100 points. So if you look at it, I don't see much flipping going wrong in this division. I think your top three still are Toronto, Tampa, and Boston. I think Florida is knocking on the door as your fourth team. I think Buffalo and Montreal are your fifth and sixth, one way or the other. We'll see where it lands. I'm kind of leaning to Buffalo 5, Montreal 6, but it's hard to say until Buffalo proves that they can be more, you know, proves that they aren't a bottom dweller like they've been for the last decade. It's hard to pick them as high as fifth. So kind of leaning to Montreal fifth over Buffalo sixth. But then I have some thoughts that it could be the other way. And then I think Detroit is seventh. And I think you looking at Ottawa eighth. Again, Ottawa, Detroit. And I guess for, you know, Buffalo is going to have some money under the cap too. Next off season, or probably just waiting for next off season. I'm waiting for Boston to age out and Tampa and Toronto to continue to have cap issues and hopefully emerge as the teams that fill in those gaps or those holes in the playoffs when they come available. But right now they're not available. So look for the top three in Atlantic still to be the top three and then Florida to be that fourth team. So that's my thoughts on the Atlantic division of the Eastern Conference. Again, as I mentioned, this was going to be a short podcast, short and sweet. We'll be back tomorrow where I get into the Metropolitan Division. And we're just going to go through each one subsequently through the week. Wednesday will be the full episode show where we, you know, get into other topics. And then Thursday and Friday, we will finish out the NHL with those individual divisions. And then hopefully we will do, next week we'll do the same thing with the NBA. We'll do the four divisions, Monday, Tuesday, the Eastern Conference divisions, Wednesday, full show, Thursday, Friday, the Western Conference divisions. Then next week after that, we will then do the NFL preview, breaking it down division, one division at a time, AFC East, AFC North, and then subsequently after that. But this was a Game Day Cube Sports Experience, episode 54. Again, I hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And you can also visit the website, GameDayCube.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Subscribe. We're going to be on now. We have to get through the previews. And once we're done through the previews of the upcoming, or the recap of the offseason for NBA, NHL and NBA, we'll get to the previews of European, the European leagues and NFL. And before you know it, it'll be September. So we're on basically every day now. So subscribe to the podcast. Again, this is the Game Day Cube Sports Experience. I was your host, Isaac E., and I am signing off.